Living in the lost is all about your words, speaking God's will, not willing to let your beloved family members and friends go. And your words do have power, what you say over them in the spirit. Not only, even the world knows that it affects them psychologically, how you talk about them, but we're not really so much talking about that. As we're talking about you having authority in the realm of the spirit and believing the promises of God, because faith always has two parts, not just one. Faith believes in the heart and then says with the mouth. And most people fail with their mouth, I'll just tell you the truth. Most people fail with their mouth. They have good intentions. It's not that they don't believe God. But faith believes in the heart and speaks with the mouth. So last Sunday night we talked about faith and talked about Abraham, because the scripture here, he says he's the father of us all. If you want to know how faith works, you look at Abraham. In fact, there's a verse here that says, Romans 4:12, talking about Abraham, who is the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also, and this is us, who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet circumcised. In other words, this has nothing to do with being a Jew. This has to do with believing God. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham believed it. So let's come on down to the steps of the faith. So we come on down to verse 17. As it is written, this is the promise to Abraham. Now remember, Abraham and Sarah, we're going to look here in a moment. You're going to find we're going to see it in Scripture that they were already, Abraham was 75 years old when God made this promise to him. So Abraham and Sarah had already been married a long time, and they'd never had any children. Okay? But God says to him, this is the promise, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now that means right there that seed is going to come out of Abraham, children are going to come, to the point they're going to become like nations of people. Remember later on, he took Abraham out and showed him the stars. Can you count the stars? No. Well, your seed are going to number like that. And they're in the desert. He says, can you count the grains of sand? No, I can't count the grains of sand. He was giving him a vision, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, and the Word is really good about putting hope in you. You read the Word and you find out you're on your way to hell, but the hope is you can be saved. You may find out you're sick, but the hope is you can be healed. You might be right in the midst of sin, but the hope is you can be free. See? Well, God's Word's always like that. And that's why it said earlier that, verse 16, back up one, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, not just to the Jew, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Abraham believed God before he was ever a Jew, before circumcision. Okay? He is a man who believed God. See, God could have set this up any way he wanted to. He could have said, okay, my promises are only for the pretty ladies, not for you ugly men. Or my promises are for the men and not for you ladies. Or my promises are for the rich but not for you poor. Or they're for you poor and not for the rich. He could have put any kind of category on it that he wanted to. He says, now how can I make this fair? Oh, I'll do it by grace so that none of them have to earn it. And all they have to do is believe it. And that way, all of my blessing can be had by any person who will believe. That's what it means. The promises are sure to all the seed. And the only thing required is that you believe the promise. So we keep looking here again. Because, listen, when you start calling your loved ones saved and you start, I've got a grandson right now who could walk a little closer to the Lord, I'm going to put it that way. And, you start speaking God's word over them and calling them in. I remember when our daughters were in rebellion, we were doing that very thing. I think I talked about that last week. And We decided to line our mouth up with the Word, and you couldn't get us to say anything opposite to it either. You know, people say, okay, I understand confession, but what do you really think? Our daughters are the handmaiden of the Lord. They prophesy, they cast out devils. Well, you start doing that, and normally you're going to get opposition to your eyes. What I mean is, a lot of times it gets worse. And the whole point is to move you off of your confession. Circumstances will come. Now, we're going to look at that real carefully here tonight regarding Abraham. So here's the promise, verse 17. We'll look at it here in Genesis in a minute. Abraham was 75 years old when God made this promise to him. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. So, in fact, let's just do it. Hold your place. We're coming back there. Go all the way back to Genesis 12. Starting in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, this is before he even changed his name. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred, that's your relatives, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And here it is. I will make of thee a great nation. Now that's talking about children. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Now notice, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old. Him and Sarah had already been married a long time. They were barren. They had not ever had any children. When I teach on this, I meditate it. I know they were nomads. They moved. They had tents. They moved from place to place. I don't know what they use in a tent for their newborn children, but they had some kind of a crib or something prepared because you expect to have a baby. And for years and decades, they moved, and all they had was an empty crib, if you'll allow me. For years, you know, when your problem stays the same for years, it gets entrenched, you know. Well, then, so now, 75 years old, God says, I want to paraphrase a little. Instead of saying, I want to make of you a great nation. How about this? Children are going to come from you. Isn't that right? 75 years old. Now, who remembers how old Abraham was when Sarah got pregnant? 99, almost 100, let's say 25 years. From the time he received the promise until the time that the manifestation of the promise came, 25 years. Daisy today was saying, you soothsayers, you who prophesy the demise, you know, it's been 25 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're being moved by what you see. Well, let's think about Abraham. He's 75 years old. You're going to have a child. You know, do you notice God didn't say when? What does Tim say about God's speed? Tim says God has two speeds. Slow and slower. Now, he can do it suddenly, too. I'll tell you that. All right. But now, think about Abraham. I've meditated on this guy. No wonder Abram is called the friend of God. So he had this promise of God. Abram, he has it from the time he's 75. I bet he's like, you know, you've been in a line, got a word from the Lord. You think, next month this is coming to pass. Don't you? Next month this is coming to pass. Well, 1 year goes by. Well, all right, next year. 10 years go by. Your body becomes more and more frail. Sarah, it becomes more and more, it says it was past the time of womanhood with her. That's a real polite way. She quit ovulating. There's no egg to be fertilized anymore. Year after year, don't you know, the devil was saying, you didn't hear God. Don't you know it? Look at, nothing's changed. I mean, well, things have changed. They're way worse. The promise looks more impossible now. See, I know the people. I know the devil's doing that with people at the prayer center right now, with the circumstances. You know, they're sure. Yeah, revival. Yeah, Tulsa's in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Same devil talking here that talked to Abraham. But think about the faith of Abraham. Go back to Romans 4. All during that time, 25 years. And even and at one point during there, you know, Sarah kind of gave up and came up with plan B. Now, Alan, when he teaches on this, he says, your mind will come up with 100 ways to fix it. Well, there's an example. Sarah at that time came up with a way to fix it. Well, you need to go in unto my Egyptian handmaid. How many of you knows Israel is still sorry that Abraham ever did that? God does not need your help. He does not need your plan. He needs your obedience, and He needs you not to give up on what He said to you. You hear me? Do not give up on the promise. If you think it's gotten worse here, I think about Abram. Everything in the natural that promise, according to anything in the natural, was absolutely hopeless now. There's no way. He wasn't even a hot rod anymore, and I say it that way, you know, because Sarah laughed. Am I going to have pleasure from my husband again? Now, that tells you lots about Abram right there. Okay? She wasn't ovulating, and he wasn't. By the way, Dave likes to talk about him getting overhealed, because after they had Isaac and eventually Sarah passed away, he married and he had more kids. Abraham got healed. Glory to God. Anyway, he got. Anyway, that's another story. But think about 25 years, and every year it looks more hopeless than it did the year before. All the circumstances look worse. Your body gets older. Finally, apparently at that point with the Hagar, he could still perform. Let me say it that way. But eventually it got to where he couldn't even perform anymore, and they got healed later because Sarah laughed. And now you're 99 years old. You've had the promise for 25 years. And it doesn't look any more possible today. There is not a thing you can look at. Nothing. Nothing. They had nothing they could look at that would make it seem like that promise was ever going to come true. And you know the devil had to be hammering them. You know. Sure, you heard God. Sure, you're going to have a baby. Sure, Tulsa's in revival. Sure, your grandson's going to come running back to God. Sure, your granddaughter's going to come running back to God. You know, he comes against you in every way, trying to get you to be moved by what you see. So let's watch what Abraham did. Verse 17, Romans 4:17. Here's the promise. We just looked at it in Genesis 12. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God. Now, Abram did have to come to where he knew two things about God. He'd better know it at age 99 if you're going to have a baby. God quickens the dead. I like to say it this way. One of our confessions, it's never too late. It's never too late. I don't care what your situation. It's hopeless. There's no such thing as that in God. My situation is dead. God quickens the dead. For Abram and Sarah, it got to the point there was, it talks about no hope here in a minute. There was absolutely no hope. God quickens the dead, and there's another thing about God. God calls those things which be not as though they were. Man, does that run counter to human beings. That's humans. The natural thing is to tell it like it is. We tend to call things that are the way they are. Say it another way. We like to tell it the way we see it. If Abraham had been like that, he never would have received the manifestation of the promise. But he had to learn that God calls those things which be not as though they were. How did he learn that? Well, God had to change his name. First, he gave him a vision. We're not going to go back and go step by step. Y'all know what happened, though. Now, get the image again. Here for all these years, they've been taking a crib, this empty crib. Every time they'd move to a new tent, you know, they'd pack up the tent and move. They got that crib, you know, for all those years. Nothing. hopelessness starts to set in. So God takes Abram out, gets him to look at the stars. He said, quit looking at that empty crib. Quit looking. See, Paul says, I have to forget those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things that are before, I press toward the mark. Boy, you've got to forget those things that are behind. God says, quit looking at that empty crib. What has been is not what shall be. He took him out and says, got him looking at those stars. Man, I tell you again, I can see it like I was still there one night driving to California on a beautiful, clear night out in Arizona. I was in between towns, you know, and you get in between towns where there's no lights and you pull over on the shoulder, turn off the headlights. There wasn't hardly any traffic that night. Got out of that truck. You see stars you have never seen before. And I can't imagine what it was like in the desert. I can't imagine. I mean, it's like diamonds on black velvet. Something in you wants to reach up and try and get one. And God says, okay, count them. What? I could spend the rest of my life, I couldn't count all those stars. God says, that's your vision, boy. That's your vision. Look at that. That's the way your children are going to number. I told you, nations are coming out of you, boy. Nations. Well, I believe Abraham took that to heart. During the day, he says, you got something to look at in the daytime, too. You're in the desert. Count the sand. Can't count all those grains of sand. Your seed is going to number like that. Gave him something to look at day and night. Don't you find that interesting? Think that's by accident? Keep your eye, keep your inside eye on what God said. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope has everything to do with that image on the inside. But see, that's hope. And hope alone is hope is great, but hope alone does not produce the promise. He had to learn another thing about God, that God calls those things which be not as though they were. And how he learned that was the day God come and changed his name. I didn't look it up for you. I've done it many times here. He says, your name shall no more be called Abram, but Abraham. For I have made thee a father of many nations. And the reason he says that, the word Abraham in that language means the father of a multitude. He also changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Sarah, I don't remember what Sarai means, but Sarah means princess. She's the one normally, it's youthful, the one that's going to produce heirs to the throne. You got that? So he changed both of their names. Now, when he changed them, understand, from that day forward, Abram couldn't walk up to you and say, I'm Abram. I mean, friends, relatives, camel shop, wherever. Get more donkey burrito food, you know. Hello. Hi, Abram. I'm not Abram anymore. Really? I always try and visit. I picture him and Sarah going across the dunes. They're going to go visit their Uncle Fred. They haven't seen Fred in a long time. Fred sees them coming. Hey, here comes Abram and Sarai. That's how he knows them. Hey, I haven't seen you guys in a long time. How are you doing, Abram? Well, we're doing good, but I need to tell you, my name's not Abram anymore. Really? What is your name now? And when he says this, in that language, he's saying, now my name is, this is who I am the father of a multitude. And Uncle Fred has known them their whole lives. He knows they don't have any kids. He's looking back behind, maybe there's some little kids back there. He all he sees is the wife. He goes, what's your name? Who are you? I am Abraham. I am the father of a multitude. See, he had to start calling those things which be not. He didn't have any, nothing had changed in the natural. He had to say it before he ever saw it. You getting this? He had to put God's word in his mouth and say it like it was already done. I can just see Uncle Fred. Your relatives. Who told you? Who told you? What? Who told you you're the father of a multitude? God told me. And right there you get that look. Oh. Been working out without your turban again. Okay. Been out in the sunshine too long. Abram had to learn this. Would to God the church today would learn it. You know, I did those in him confessions years ago, and the Lord's been after me myself to start getting more fired up to make those confessions on a more regular basis. He said, son, this is how faith works. This is who I am. This is who you are. In the same way that I had to change what Abraham was saying, son, I got to change what you're saying. What are you saying about your relatives? What are you saying about your circumstances? Verse 18. Who against hope, this is Abram, this is how he did it, who against hope believed in hope. What in the... against hope believed in hope. Well, what that means is there was no natural hope. He had to fight against that. There was no hope in the natural. So against that kind of hope, he believed in hope. Well, where'd that come from? The stars and the sand. He had a vision from God. See, you can have all kinds of... Here we've had a vision from God for over 25 years. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. The mandate that God gave Pastor Dave all those years ago to take a group of people, go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. That's our starry night. That's our vision. And you say, well, I've been here 25 years, and it looks worse than it did the day that I came. Mm-hmm. Talk to Abraham. And a lot have left. God bless their hearts. I believe they'll be back when the manifestation comes, and we'll receive them back. You know, it's hard. It's not easy. If it was easy, revival would be everywhere. Isn't that right? All right. So against hope, believed in hope. He was not moved by that. Everything in the natural said no. But everything in God said yes. So against hope, he believed in hope. He would not let go of the heavenly vision. Paul talked about that same thing later on when he's talking to King Agrippa. He says, you know, I did not disregard the heavenly vision, what God said to me. And Paul was stoned and whipped and beaten and in three shipwrecks and everything in the world. But he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What God called me to do, I have held on to it, no matter every circumstance in hell. Remember that devil that was assigned to stop Paul? Everywhere he went, stonings, beatings, you know, riots, shipwrecks, everything in the world. But Paul said, I will not quit. King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He never let it go, did he? We're not letting it go here either. All right? Who against hope believed in hope. See, if he didn't hold on to that hope, if he'd let it go, he never would have become the father of many nations. But it says here, who against hope believed in hope. I'm going to hold on to that starry night, no matter what it looks like, so that I will become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. See, he's talking about that starry night. Now notice, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. I'm going to add a little more. He considered not his own body getting weaker for 25 years. 25 years. Every year looks more impossible than the year before. Every year looks more impossible. Another year goes by, and another year goes by. Now you're 99. There is no hope in the natural at all. When you and your wife look in the mirror, it is not a pretty sight. When it comes to producing kids, I'm saying. But he said he considered not his own body now dead. You know what that means? You cannot not consider your body. You're in it. He says, I choose not to believe what my body says. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Don't you know? Every doctor on the planet would say, this is impossible. If you don't quit calling yourself the father of a multitude, we may have to lock you up. We think you've got a mental illness or something wrong with you. Your wife cannot conceive. In other words, any doctor, any university, anybody on planet Earth would have said, you're crazy. This is impossible. Now, what did Jesus say? That which is impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus, today we read about that mustard seed faith. If you ever learn how to operate in this mustard seed faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. Verse 20. So even though his body is dead, meaning he's not a hot rod anymore, Sarah has a dead womb. Now that's pretty impossible. Even in those conditions, and this is after, I can't emphasize this enough. This is, I want to say it this way, after 25 years of seeming failure, Abraham says, I'm still not giving up. I choose not to be moved by my body. And I know what you're saying. Scientifically, my wife cannot have a baby. But I have a promise from God. God. Love the faith of Abraham. After 25 years, he's still not going to let go of the heavenly vision. He's still not going to let go of what God said to him. I don't care that my wife can't ovulate. I don't care what my body tells me. I have a God that cannot lie. And I believe what he said. About to stay here, feet. About to run off. People driving down 41st Street see a 50-some-odd-year-old man running around the ugly building going, Jesus! I get so excited. I'm probably smoking while I was doing it, but still, Jesus! Anyway. Verse 19. I'll try and read it without... He being not weak in faith. Well, okay, how do you be weak in faith? Well, I consider my body. I can't do it. My wife, she worse than I am. It's been 25 years. I don't see anything changing. That's weak in faith. That's weak in faith. You know, ain't nothing changing. It's worse now than it was 25 years ago. That's called weak in faith. But he says, he was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And let me just say, everything in the physical world was stacked against him to get him to stagger. Everything was against him. Every circumstance. Abe, can you see somebody come like an attorney on the devil's side? Abram, can you give me one shred of evidence after 25 years that you really heard God? Show me something. Show me any little sliver of anything manifested. Show me something. What could Abraham have given him? Just the promise. See, this is why faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Abraham didn't have any seen thing he could hand the guy. But he says, I've got something you can't see. I've got faith in a God that cannot lie, who gave me a promise, and I'm going to have exactly what he told me. Amen. A staggered man. And that's after 25 years of seeming failure. It's 25 years. Man. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know how you do that? You don't change your name back to Abram. You still say, I am the father of a multitude. You don't change your confession. Whatever it was God said to you, you keep saying that and you keep doing that. That's how you give glory to God. I mean, when it looks like it's not working and it's not been working for 25 years, you do not change, you stagger not, and you give God the glory. And everybody's going to think you're crazy. You know they thought he was crazy. They thought he was rich, but they thought he was crazy. I mean, Abraham had 318 employees working in his house. He had a couple of coins to run to get rubbed together, okay? Anyway. He took 318. He may have had more than that. It just says he had 318 that he took to war. That was probably the men. I don't know about the wives. To rescue his son-in-law. Anyway, that's another. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now I'm going to commend you. And I know there's people that are faithful to come that are not here tonight, and I'm sure there's good reason. But those of you here and those of you that join with us around the world, I want to commend you for still coming to Calling in the Lost, holding fast to this promise. Whether it's believing for revival for Tulsa, which is the main thing that we do, or whether you're still standing for the salvation of your loved ones or your friends or those that you have called into the kingdom, you, every time you do it, You are giving glory to God. You are staggering not at the promise. We will have what we say in Jesus' name. Okay. So he was, verse 20 at the end, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, even after 25 years of seeming failure, he was still fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I trust you, God. I've meditated and wondered what Abram's worship time was like. Let's say, you know, the fulfillment came when he was about 99. Let's talk about 97. 97, it's been, what, 23 years. You don't have a shred of evidence. You can't perform anymore. Your wife can't ovulate anymore. There is nothing, you don't have a shred, not anything, nothing tangible you can hold on to about that promise. All you have is the promise. And I wonder what Abram's worship was like, just him and God. He'd make a sacrifice, maybe offer a lamb or something, you know, like they did. But I wonder what kind of thing he said, God, he says, God, I'm fully persuaded. I know what you said to me, Father. Or he might have said, God, I know what you said to me, Lord. I know what you said. Lord, I'm not moved by my wife. I'm not moved by the deadness of her womb. I'm not moved by what my body's like now, Lord. Lord, I know you cannot lie. I worship you. I glorify you. I give you glory. You cannot lie. I will have what you promised me. Doesn't matter how dead I am or my wife is. Lord, I'm fully persuaded that what you promised, Lord, you're able to perform it. Can you see? Worship had to be something like that. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And because of that, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And we know what happened. Somehow God worked a miracle in both of their bodies. Sarah got pregnant by Abram's seed. Abram got healed. And as Dave teaches later on, he got really healed. He had more children after that. And God did exactly what he said. Amen? Now there's another time that I didn't look the scriptures up, so we'll just tell the story. One time overseas, I wound up at a preaching meeting and I didn't have a Bible. I preached for 4 hours without a Bible, so we can do this. All right? The other time that he got tested, God says, so now he has Isaac, and Isaac grows up to be a young man. He's not married yet. This is the promise, and God had plainly said, through Isaac shall thy seed be called. Not through some other child, but through Isaac shall thy seed be called. Well, Isaac hadn't gotten married, hasn't had any children, and God says, oh, I don't want you to offer him as a burnt offering. Now, that's a hard one. Let's see if I have time for this. Every year, I'll just tell you, Angie knows this, every year in December, I take Gary Carpenter Ministries, and I put it on the altar as a burnt offering. I say, Lord, this does not have to continue. If it ever becomes mine, I don't want it anyway. This is the Isaac you gave me. But if you want it back, all you got to do is speak. Because I can do a lot of things for the kingdom. You could put me back in business. I can just make money for the kingdom. I can do anything you want, Lord. See, sometimes that very thing that you believe God for, He doesn't want that to become an idol to you. And he doesn't want that to become more precious to you than God himself. Well, in any event, he asked Abram to offer his son, thine only son, the way the Lord words it. And if you read the story carefully, it says that they went to this mountain where God showed him that it was to be done, and they took firewood. Now, they've got firewood. Abram is not just planning on raising the knife and killing the boy. Abraham is planning on offering a burnt offering and burning his body to ashes. Yet the last thing Abram says to his caravan that came with him, now here's, if you can picture, Isaac has got the wood on his back. He's a young man. They're fixing to go up the mountain. Isaac's wondering, I guess we're going to kill an animal up there or something, you know. But Abram turns, and Abram knows what's, he knows what God said. So he's planning on going up there, offering his son with a knife, setting his body afire, reducing it to ashes. Lily's looking at me like, what? I'll talk to you later. But look at the faith of Abraham. When they started off, he'd look, turn to the caravan, and he says, I and the lad shall return. In Hebrews, it says, Abraham had already received Isaac in a figure. God, he says, God cannot lie. Now, he's asking me to do this. I don't really know why. But one thing I know, my boy has not had any children yet. And God said through him, that's how my seed will be called. God has to raise him from the dead. And it says in Hebrews, he'd already received him. Here we go, vision. Can you see it again? Hope. He's got, he says, I and the, that's his faith speaking right there. I and the lad shall return. He expected to go up there, plunge the knife in the boy, burn his body to ashes, and stand there and worship God while God raised Isaac back from the dead right out of those ashes. Because I and the lad will return. So he wasn't believing for it 10 years later, was he? Now we're going up the mountain today. We're coming back down today. Glory to God. Good stuff. Now you talk about, no wonder Abraham is called the friend of God. But see, Paul calls Abraham, now back, if you're still in Romans 4, is that where we still are? See, look at verse 12 again. These, the last part, but who also walks in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. These are the steps. And it's for everybody, not just the Jew. That's why he says it's not for the circumcision only, but for anybody who will walk in these steps. So how do you do it? Let's talk about the prayer center. It's been over 25 years now. Daisy's been here 29. And the promise had to be before that through to Dave. So let's say 30 years. Well, what's that? All right. And I don't know how long you, maybe how long ago it was you put a loved one's name in the box, or I'm calling in my Aunt Susie, or I'm calling in my grandson Billy, or and maybe it looks worse now than the day that you did it. Can we walk in these steps? How about against hope? Well, first off, have you changed what you're saying? Can you see your loved one serving God? If you can't, start. Get an image. Who? What would that be like? You know? Then the next step, you got to change what you're saying. What are you saying about the situation? If you're coming into calling in the lost, we have not changed in all of these years. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. They get healed first time, every time, no exceptions. And that's exactly what we're going to have. We keep saying it. We're not going to change it, not water it down. We're going to have what we say. Amen? All right? So, you got to have the vision. Number two, say what God says, even about that rebellious child or that mean Aunt Susie, whoever it is that you're believing. You got to say what God says. Call them saved. Call them healed. Okay. And then don't be moved by circumstances. You're going to walk in faith, the steps of faith. Say, well, there's no hope in the natural. Good, you're right at the place where Abraham was. Believe the vision instead. Believe the promise instead. Believe what God says instead. All right? And then don't be weak in faith. How would I do that? Give up after a long time. Start getting weak and, well, maybe. And I'm telling you, the devil's relentless. Well, my kids are, you know, that whole ordeal. Now, Angie's sitting here. She always says of the three daughters, she rebelled the least, and that's true. But the whole deal went on altogether for several years. This was not over in a month or two. And there was times it looked bad. That the worst one was, and Amanda hears these, and she was here. She'd go, Daddy's telling the truth. The worst one was when it looked like she was going to go to prison for 12 years. Now, this is my baby girl. This is my youngest. I'm telling you, right in the heart, I had trouble sleeping. I had visions of what would happen to her. I mean, I just, you know, and against that kind of hope, I would literally get out of bed. Some nights, not every night, but I would have to get up out of bed, walk the floor, speak God's word. I had a whole list of promises, you know, concerning the children and your seed, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, you know, and my daughter is the handmaiden of the Lord, until I get some peace. Because the enemy was trying to move me into natural hope. And there was no hope in the natural. The attorney always already told me. He says, the only chance we have of her defense is this, and it's been tried 100 times, and no one in that county has ever succeeded. But we did. I told you I wanted John Wayne, and God sent me Wally Cox, but Wally Cox was the right guy. And we got something done that had never been done. She got recertified as a juvenile is what it was. And if that happens, then they expunge your records. There's no record of it. Isn't that amazing what God does? But it was expensive. Okay? You had to believe God for the money. I know what it is to wrestle with that hope. If you're not careful, that old natural hopelessness. Thank God we have a different hope. Your hope is right here in this Bible. Your hope is whatever He has said to you. We have hope. So against natural hope, we hold fast to the hope of God. We're not weak in faith. We don't consider the circumstances. No matter how dead it looks, we stagger not at the promise of God. We remain strong in faith, and that's mainly by confessing it and worshiping Him and calling it as though it's already done until the day happens. Tulsa's in revival, and Jesus is Lord. And your grandchild comes running home. And your Aunt Susie says, I never, so I'll finish with this. Sue's daddy was a hard case now. He didn't get saved till he was 72, I think it was. And everybody, we'd all been witnessing to him. Sue especially and her brother Donnie would witness to him. He was just a hard nut, you know. He was big man and real set in his ways, didn't have much education. And this is the way it is, and boy, you can't hardly move him. But finally, the younger brother, Donnie, and a lot of people sowed seed, but finally, he got saved. He died four or five, 6 years later. He wound up, we went to his funeral at a Baptist church. I'll never forget the eulogy that the pastor gave over Lynn. That was Sue's daddy's name. He said, I'll tell you what, Lynn became a pillar in our church. He was the greeter at the door. Everybody that come in, they got a big old handshake or a hug from Lynn. He says, you know those ice storms we have in Oklahoma? He said, I don't care how slick the roads was and how bad it was. I knew for sure there's going to be two people at church, and that's me, the pastor, and Lynn. Lynn told Sue after, he always called her sister, after he got saved and had been saved for a little while, he said, well, sister, if I'd have known it'd been like this, I'd have got saved a long time ago. And Sue said, Daddy, we all tried to tell you. But I mean, they witnessed to him for 10 years, 15 years. I don't know how long it was. And he wasn't always nice about it. He wasn't real crazy about you doing that. You know? But you keep on and you keep on against hope. You believe in hope. And sure enough, Lynn has been running around heaven now for quite a few years. They're going to be a great reunion one of these days. Is that good stuff or what? Don't be moved by natural things. Believe what God has said. Watch 25, 30 years. You are eternal creatures. We'll look back on these days. Paul said it'll be like a blink when we think about this time. Amen.